400-verse treatise by Aryadeva, chapter 2, indicating methods for ridding yourself of grasping at the body as pleasurable. Although your body is like an enemy, yet you need to take care of it. Living a long life with ethical discipline, you can do many positive deeds. People receive suffering from their very bodies, but happiness from other external sources. Why are you so devoted to your body, which acts as a container for all your sufferings? When it's a fact that happiness does not come to people in as great a proportion as suffering does, how can you think that this greater amount of suffering is less than your happiness? Although worldly beings rush after happiness, those who become happy are indeed rare to find. Therefore, it seems as though suffering is running behind after these beings who disintegrate from moment to moment. Although suffering can be found by wishing for it, where is there happiness for merely the wish? How is it that you're so devoted to what's rare? Why don't you fear what's plentiful? The body that can become a little happy acts as a container for much more suffering. Therefore, being devoted to your body and being devoted to your enemy, these two seem to be the same. The body cannot change into having a nature of happiness, even if you try for a very long time to make a change. It's illogical to say that through other circumstances, its nature of suffering can be overruled. To those in privileged positions comes mental suffering, while to common folks physical suffering arises. By these two sufferings, this world is tormented day after day, every day. Happiness is dictated by your thoughts, and your thoughts can be dictated by your suffering. Because of that, nowhere is there anything more powerful than suffering. As much as time passes, so does your suffering increase. Because of that, it appears as though happiness is but like an incongruous guest of the body. Many causes of suffering appear, such as sickness and others, but the causes for people to be happy do not appear to the same extent. You can see how happiness, while increasing, easily reverses, but while suffering is increasing, it doesn't easily reverse like that. You see causes for happiness simultaneously producing the reverse, but not causes for suffering themselves simultaneously producing the reverse. During the course of dying throughout your lifetime, you've traveled, are now traveling, and will continue to travel ever closer to your death. In no way is it proper to regard life's course of dying as bringing happiness. Beings with bodies are constantly tormented by hunger and the like. In no way is it proper to regard as happiness life's course of being tormented. What's known as your body is produced when there's gathered together all its four elements, which individually lack the ability to produce it. As these elements by nature mutually clash, in no way is it proper to regard them as happiness. Because there's cold in such things, there's no permanent cure for suffering. In no way is it proper to regard as happiness this body that's always breaking down. As there are no seemingly pleasurable activities on earth that can be said to come about without toil and effort, in no way is it proper to regard as happiness that which requires the doing of miserable work. Those who are wise would always guard against accumulating, at the expense of some small and ephemeral pleasure, negative karmic debts for this or other lives. In no way is it proper to regard as happiness that which will have you reborn in one of the worst states. For people, there's never any happiness from riding horses and so forth. What at first it's not intended for, namely to bring you suffering, only increases in the end, so what's the use? Just as some people become happy when they vomit if it's into a golden pot, likewise, think of your happiness as petty relief from suffering. What you initiate to reverse suffering that's arisen only brings on further new suffering, so how is there happiness? That's why the able sage Buddha has said, both when you're born and fall apart, it's only with suffering. Think about that. Ordinary beings do not see their suffering when it's apparently glossed over with temporary happiness. But if their so-called happiness were real and everlasting, it couldn't again be obscured by suffering under any conditions. If you regard your suffering body as pleasurable, you'll not become free from attachment. This has been taught for ordinary beings. Therefore, it's certain that the thusly gone Buddhas have said that such a distorted view of the body as pleasurable is the lowest type of all naivety. Impermanent things definitely receive harm in order to pass away, and whatever can be harmed cannot be a source of happiness. Therefore, that which is impermanent, such as the body, would be called by everyone suffering.